Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast, with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thanks for being here, podcast listener. That is you. Hey, we're at it again here at BBE, the podcast talking theater. Unbelievable plethora of talent that lives in our little hamlet. And if you've been listening to BBE for a while, you may remember an episode we did earlier this year that featured a recent castmate of mine from the production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, as well as the director of that production. Well, that production was produced by 8 O'Clock Theater, lovingly known as EOT. And we are revisiting EOT today with two more pals of mine who are currently working on the next big show at EOT, and that is a little show called Cabaret. Please welcome Dominic Bassesti and Michael Gregory to Big Broadway Energy. Welcome, boys.
Hi. Thank you.
Nice to see you guys. Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
It's always nice when my friends are across the room because they're like, okay, let's just do it. You know, there's no like drama. All right, we're going to get to Cabaret in a second. But first, I have a very important piece of business that I have to do. If you were able to listen to the episode where we spoke about Joseph, and if you haven't, you can listen to that on demand, so you're welcome. I mentioned putting the choreographer of that show through the ringer, and I want to apologize to that person right here and now. And he is the very talented human, Dominic Bassesti. Dom, I promise to never be in another musical where you have to teach me to dance. I promise. We won't have to do that again.
You know, Stephen, it was one of the greatest challenges of my entire career right there.
It's because I'm so self-conscious, and you know me, like I like to do things very well, and when I don't do them well, I get angry.
And the anger came through.
I know. This is why I'm doing this now in front of everyone in the world. I apologize. I love you. Thank you for your continued friendship with the turmoil that is this old mayor trying to time step. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk Cabaret. Dominic, you're not only directing this production, you are wearing a few hats. Like, I don't even know that if you have enough appendages to put the amount of hats that you're wearing on. So tell me what you're doing in addition to directing the show.
Yes. Okay. So I'm directing the show. I'm also choreographing the show along with Emily Molinaro. And then I'm also the lighting designer, and I'm the technical director for the theater as well at the same time.
So if you've never done community theater, dear listener, that means that Dominic's living at the theater.
Yes. You could walk in there at 3 a.m. and you will find me still sitting there doing something, painting, queuing, whatever.
I mean, I can't think of a better person, though. I mean, you really are dedicated, dude.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Sadly, this is what I love. I don't know why. I wish God would have cursed me with something else.
Like accounting?
Except this is what I do, and so I make no money, and I spend all of my time doing it, but I am happy.
At least you're not alone in that boat, though. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah.
And Michael Gregory, a dear friend of mine, we've been lucky enough to share the stage twice locally, and we are going to do that again in 2026, which I'm excited about. Cabaret is a show that is really well-known in the lexicon of American musical theater. I mean, everybody does it. Everyone has seen it at least once, and if you haven't seen it, you're in luck, because this production is coming up right around the corner, and you can kind of get on the bandwagon. But it really is a show about what happened in Berlin during World War II, and sort of what happened leading up to the things that are really, really scary and awful and horrible as part of our human history. People in the cabaret doing this amazing sort of like nightly show where that's kind of like the hooch parlor, right? It's the place where everyone goes to relax and have fun, and life is a cabaret, and outside of this loud, fun bar, you start to hear the small sort of whirrings of this politics that are happening. And in the show, you have all these amazing performers, but you also have actors that are really kind of creating the story around the cabaret. And Michael is one of those few actors that is really playing a very specific character. You're playing Herr Schultz, and Herr Schultz is this old, wonderful, benevolent German guy who is trying to live his life amidst this turmoil in Germany. How do you feel about Herr Schultz, Michael? Like, what do you like about playing him?
I like that he has integrity, and he's a simple man. He works really hard. He owns a little fruit stand, and he has lost his wife, and he's lonely, and he's tired of being alone. In the show, he develops feelings for his landlady. The subplot that Herr Schultz is involved in is about whether or not their love is going to make it in the face of the political climate.
I was lucky enough to work at the Broadway production of Cabaret a bunch of years ago. I worked for the Roundabout Theater Company, which did the big revival of Cabaret, which brought it back to the zeitgeist. And I remember sitting there watching that show again and again, night after night. I just loved it. And I loved the relationship between Schneider and Schultz, because they are really like the representation of Germany before what happened to Germany. And you sort of see, you want them so much to work. You want it so much to to be a happy ending, but we all know it wasn't really a happy ending, right? So it is such a, you guys really are the heart of the show, in my opinion. I really think so.
I fully agree with you. And that's what I said to Michael and to the actor playing Schneider, is that to me, the Schneider and Schultz story of Cabaret is the heart of the show, message and meaning of the show. The Cabaret scenes being in the Kit Kat Club,
yeah,
that is the distraction. That is supposed to pull you away from that and get it so that you don't see this punch coming from these two wonderful actors and beautifully written part.
It really is. It's such a beautiful play. I think people sometimes don't realize that, you know, it was based on a book called I Am a Camera. Or was it a play? I don't remember. It was a book. Yeah, I Am a Camera, Christopher Isherwood. And it's a beautiful story, right? And then Cabaret created, like you said, Dom, this sort of like real antithesis of what's really happening in the world, because they, you know, they wanted to keep things going. And the MC is sort of the lead in the show, and he's sort of like the narrator, the sort of the Greek chorus of this show that kind of reminds people that, you know, life's not that bad. If you just keep on singing and playing and having a good time, it's going to be okay. We're going to weather this storm together. And again, you know, like, what a beautiful way to kind of put both of these very specific cultures in Germany together in one experience for people that were going through that at that time. Let's talk about EOT for a minute. So what happens, boys, is when I talk to you, you guys talk back to me. That's the best way to do this, okay?
Great. But no, and to go along with that too, you know, the way that we're staging this show is a little bit different from any production that I have seen. And I'm really also trying to keep that MC creating the havoc and trying to continually pull us back away from the reality, the harsh reality that is coming towards us, that we are being propelled to, that we are being taken to. And the MC is more and more throughout the show trying to do everything he can to prevent us from realizing what is going on and what is to come.
It almost feels like I watched Cabaret, and I've seen it a bunch of times, not only professionally, but in community theater. I always look at the MC as like, he's like the polar opposite of what's happened. It's like two poles intersecting and repelling. And he's like, the one is like, no, don't worry about this. Like I said, it's going to get better. We've seen this before. It'll be okay. And it's just such a punch in the gut when you start to see like the rise of the Third Reich happen in the show too. Like, it's, again, it comes in like a mouse. It's very, very subtle.
Way to give, you know, a spoiler there.
Yeah. Okay, for the one person that's not seen Cabaret, I would just check the movie out before you come see the show. Let's talk about EOT. On paper, it's community theater, but the talent and the resources behind this theater, so much of what is produced there, it just feels so professional to me. Like, I just think it's such a beautiful company, and you guys do such beautiful work. Michael, I know you're fairly new in town, although it's been a few years now. You started out as an actor, and then you had like a whole career, not in the arts. And now, in your retirement, you've decided to come back to your roots, your first love. And I love that you're sort of finding the beauty of theater in St. Pete, because it is such an incredibly like robust community. What do you like about working for 8 o'clock? Is this your very first time?
My first time at 8 o'clock. And just like you said, I'm very impressed with not just their professionalism and what they're trying to create, but with the positivity and inclusivity they bring to every rehearsal and to the whole experience. I just felt so welcomed from the very first day. It's a wonderful place, really. Yep. At rehearsal every night, I look around at not just the other actors who are incredible, but the staff they've created to support us, from Dominic to the stage manager to full-time costumer and costumer assistant, a props person just for our show. It's wonderful.
It is, and it's so unusual for community theater. The professionalism of EOT is so atypical for community theater. So I like to tell people that maybe have seen community theater and they're like, I don't want to go see an okay version of this. When you walk into 8 o'clock theater, you don't see okay versions of anything. Like, I've never seen a show there where I'm like, wow, that was pretty darn professional. Like, and I wanted to ask you, Michael, because I know you've been on Broadway, you've done lots of things. And I think when someone that has sort of that pedigree comes to St. Pete and comes to see the things that we do, like, I just wanted to get your take on, like, does it feel professional? Does it feel like everything you hoped it would be when you started?
I'd say yes. Yeah. And the space itself is wonderful. Just standing on the stage, it's one thing I like to do when I'm performing is to maybe get there a little bit early, grab a moment where I'm alone on the stage, and look at the audience, the empty seats, and try to feel them and what it is I'm hoping to create that night for those people and for myself and the other actors. And realize that I'm in a real place, you know, where something hopefully meaningful is about to happen. And I'd like to just ground myself on that stage because that's where I'm going to be living for the next 2 hours.
It's true. And we have an amazing supportive audience, too, that comes to see literally everything 8 O'Clock does. So it's another thing where if you're in one of those shows, you know you're going to have a good audience. You know you're going to have a full house. You know it's going to feel really, the energy is going to be really there. And when a show like Cabaret comes in, so many people have seen it in the past. And so they come and they're expecting something. And I think, again, like that energy and that vibe is there when you go to see something that maybe is like really well known out there in like the main catalog of American musical theater.
That's like both the joy of doing a show like Cabaret and also panic of doing, because you're like, people love this show.
Yeah.
People know this show. People have expectations for what they're going to see with this show. And you're just like every day going, okay, how can we make sure we're living up to it? And I've been extremely blessed to have such a great cast of talent and people on this team that are passionate about the project.
Yeah.
They are here to tell this story today to these audiences, and they're all in on whatever crazy, wacky idea I may come up with. They say, okay, and let's go. And we play and we figure it out and we adapt and we change. And it's just been, it's been such a great process to create this. And again, just having that big hope every day that it's like, okay, are we doing this justice? And are we going to make our audience proud? And I like to think that we're very close to knocking it out of the park, but there is that fear with a show like Cabaret.
Yeah, I'm not at all afraid. I'm very excited. I know it's going to be great. I know so many people in this show. I know there's so much talent in this show. I can't wait to see it. Dominic, I know you have directed a few times at 8 O'Clock and you have choreographed quite a few times there. First of all, I'd love to ask if you have any sort of thoughts around or what you're bringing to this production of Cabaret that might be special or maybe new to someone who's maybe seen it before. And then also I want to ask like your POV on community theater and why 8 O'Clock is so special to you.
Okay, a lot there.
So, I know, there's a lot there.
Yeah. So again, with Cabaret, I'm really trying to create that world and to show kind of like the juxtaposition of the two things that are happening, often simultaneous. I did a lot with trying to blur, so it's not just like the scene ends and now we're here, and then this scene ends and now we're here, trying to kind of overlap those transitions a little bit more, because I think that brings the heart of what the story is trying to show you. This can be going on even while you're over here and distracted and looking at this, or sometimes you will have a need and a desire for that escape to get away from the things that are going on over here, both personal, political, worldwide, you know what I mean? Cabaret is packed with not only the story of what's going on in Germany, but there is a lot of personal turmoil and things that are separate from the political that also happen in the show. And it's great to really let those actors sit in those moments and be there, as opposed to being like, lights out, now I walk off stage, you know? So really trying to do that. With 8 O'Clock Theater, I was very fortunate to get involved as a child, actually, with 8 O'Clock. And it was a great home for me. It was a great training ground. I left and I moved away and I did summer stock and cruises and all that other kind of stuff. But eventually decided to come back here. And I've just been so happy to continue work with 8 O'Clock Theater, because there's this great mixture of people that come in that want to do a show with us because of the way we hold ourselves and what we want to push towards, right? Yes, we are community theater, and we have, like, in this cast right now, we have people that are currently working professionally, and we also have people that this is the first show that they've done.
That's why I love EOT so much.
And we want to have that mixture of that, because it takes both parts. We have people that have been with us for every single show. We've got a great spotlight operator who, a couple years ago, his daughter did Oliver with us, and we needed people to run spotlight. So he's like, sure, I'll do that. My kid's in the show, I'll be around. He's been with us in every show since, you
so
know,
great.
Doing something, helping with Loden, running spotlight, and even going on stage himself, which was not something that was normal for him, right? But dear old Jay got out there on stage, you know. We encourage and we love that. We like to build people up. We like to find them a way that they can contribute and give to the shows and give to our community. And that's just why I love the home, you know.
It's so true. And you mentioned a little bit about the politics of the show. I don't want to talk too much about it. And you're right. Like, we don't want to go too political. I don't try to make BBE a very not political space. See, I want everyone that loves the arts can listen to this and learn about what's going on in the city. But, you know, cabaret feels relevant today. I mean, whatever you believe in and whatever source you get your news, it's really hard to deny that cabaret feels relevant today. What are your thoughts on how you are going to tackle that? You know, the audience at EOT is very mixed. You have a lot of older conservative people. You have a lot of people who don't necessarily fit into a certain demographic when it comes to politics. And it's a, you know, whether we like it or not, cabaret is a very politically charged show.
It is. It's written that way. And so yeah. There's a balance too. And I've talked about this a little bit with the production team of, I do want to make it accessible to everyone. I want anyone to be able to come and see the show and enjoy it and not feel like we're pushing any thought, ideology.
No agenda,
right? Yeah. Just come and you can see the show and you can take from it what you can. Where is there? We are not... They're not going so far out there to really condemn or push, but there are also actors on stage who their characters are written to make a choice when something is spoken about or something is revealed. Their character has a choice, but I've also tried to then dullen the rest of it. So it's people that are there and are just witnessing what's happening without reacting to what is happening a little bit. And that was an intentional choice to try and make it so that it's, no, you have the ability to respond and to react how you feel fit, because we all fit into the world, right? Mm. And yes, we can hope that there are certain lines that if are crossed, we could generally come together and stand up against, but it's not our place to tell you what that line is.
Right, right, exactly right. And there's these moments in time in the world, and we happen to be alive in a time in the world where things are very polarizing, and sometimes we do have to make those choices, and they're tough and scary, and you got to be brave sometimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have to say one way Dominic has done that is by rooting the play in the historical context. And when you come to see the show, you will experience that right away. But when you look at the set, it's very haunting.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know one of the very first rehearsals, I said to Dominic, I am so impressed with the depth of the vision that you're bringing to this as a director. Not all directors have a big vision like that, but this guy does. Really admire him.
I couldn't agree more. I got to work with Dominic a few years ago, and it was a farce, and I was so out of my depth, and he just took me under his wing, and he said, just follow my lead. And we had the most fun, and a friendship was born out of that experience. And that's why I love this stuff so much, and I love the community that we live in. All right, boys, last question. What does art mean to you? I know it's a big one. I ask everybody, and it's kind of a cliche, but right now it's very important that everyone that's listening remembers how important art is. So, Michael, why don't you start? What does art mean to you?
Well, I think it's always been a safe place and a place that where I can feel seen and heard, and that encourages people to truly be authentic.
Hmm. I love that. Dominic?
Art to me is, yeah, it's that expression. It's that emotion. It's that ability to connect in yourself to past experiences or to empathy. That is what art is. It is feeling. It is experiencing. It is knowing something, either by what you see, by what you hear, what you do. You know, I think art is something that everyone should do, whether you're doodling on a paper, going to a pottery class, watching theater, being in theater, taking a dance class, like do something and find a way to express yourself. It is that expression and that freedom that can only be found through the stuff that we create.
It's true. And it awakens something in me every time I see something. And I think that is the same thing that happens for a lot of people when they don't even realize that they need it, and they go and see something and they're like, wait a minute, that just awakened something that I thought was like dead or I didn't feel, and there it is. You know, I love that. Cabaret opens on November the 7th. Is that right?
Yes.
And it runs through November 16th at Central Park Performing Arts Center in Largo. For times, tickets, et cetera, you can visit 8oclocktheater.com or largoarts.com and you can purchase your tickets. Dominic Bisesti, Michael Gregory, love you guys. I'm so thankful for all you do to make Tampa Bay a special and creative place.
Thank you, Steve.
And thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me, will ya? BigBroadwayEnergy, all one word, @gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.